going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Anderson program, Doug Karsh alongside Scott the Gator Anderson, and boy, did we have fun last night. Scott, good time. Good time had by all.
Yeah, it always is. It's a fast 3.5 hours, man. That thing flew by. And it helped that the draft flew by, too. The draft is way different than it was like 15 years ago when you had, you may have even had 15 minutes between picks at one point, but it goes pretty quickly, and the teams are, they know who they want, they go get them.
Yeah.
Now, there's some trades, certainly, but they're moving fast to get their guys and moving this thing along.
Yeah, and thank you everybody who logged on and watched, and, you know, we, it's pretty wild. I lost cable for about 12 minutes last night, and it just so happened to be coincide with when I was shooting the boot. I went back and was able to watch to see that you did see almost all of it. The very end, you couldn't see, but
pour out of your mouth and down your chest.
Yeah,
what's under the towel that you had?
Well, hold on, stop. You've done this. It's not easy to keep the beer from spilling when you're drinking out of a shoe.
No, but you went at it aggressively.
I did,
and you had brought a towel out.
Yeah, because you spilled.
To wear like a shawl. And we kind of teased you about that, but whatever. You're doing what you're doing because you don't want it to spill everywhere. But then, like, 1 second into it, like, the towel falls or moves to the side, and immediately all the beer that's rushing out of the shoe into your mouth is spilling out of your mouth and right onto your shirt and chest.
Yeah, there was a lot that went wrong, but
man, so much of it went right.
Yeah, so much of it went right, and we appreciate everybody. Again, and we were able to, you know, use your comments and just hang out. The numbers went up as the night went on, and I think this is something we'll do forever. Is the draft watch party? It was a little weird with the Piston game going on, being able to talk about that while the draft is that we were kind of bouncing all over the place. It felt like it was too much going on, and the Piston game was pretty unfortunate. And we will discuss that. But Tyleek Williams, the pick. That nobody saw coming.
Nobody, not one person.
Or did they? It was from yesterday and last night. One person saw it coming.
I want King to relish this moment as much as you can. This might be the greatest moment of your life.
I have 2 daughters and got married as well. And this might be this might
the
be
the greatest moment in your life.
Today I feel like I am the greatest draft pontificator.
To call the shot on pick number 28.
I know.
It went completely off the board. And you admitted, I'm going off the board because who knows what the hell is going to happen. Tyleek Williams, and then he got it right.
It was
fantastic.
It was so great, and I got to tell you, nobody had this. Yesterday we went through and I read off the results of like 16 mock drafts. Nobody had the name Tyleek Williams. Not Kuiper, none of the local guys who all do a really, really good job. And your reasoning was, you know what you did? You put together a fantastic guess for reasons that all made
sense. It was, yeah, like, listen, to get in the mind of Brad Holmes or any GM is nearly impossible. And then you mentioned at Gator, pick 28. My God. You know, this isn't even top five stuff right here. So what I did was it a dart I threw? Yes. But it was an educated dart throw. And I just took what I knew about Brad Holmes and Lions and I just said, okay, what do I know? We know he doesn't care about positional value, right?
Yep.
We know he drafts football players. So I took that into account. I'm like, he doesn't care what everyone on his draft board says. Everyone else's draft board says Tyleek Williams is a second-round pick. And I said, but what if Brad Holmes doesn't think he's a second-round pick?
Mm-hmm.
And he's so unpredictable. It's always a guy that we never thought of. So I eliminated all the guys we all mentioned all week for the last 2, 3, 4 weeks, okay?
Yep.
And then I said, all right, who did they visit with? Because that's always kind of a sign, too. I went up and down the list. I saw Tyleek Williams. I know they say they don't draft for need, but they know what they need. And sometimes the player matches need. So my shot in the dark was, it's going to be Tyleek Williams, defensive tackle. Now, I don't get a lot wrong, right, and I get a lot wrong, really. But when I do, I'm going to celebrate the hell out of it.
And if you watched last night, when Kane came back on the Twitch stream, he had a cigar.
He brought it into work.
Oh, did he?
he still got it, lead into it,
my friend.
Yeah. It was a great job. And what did they get? Well, they got a big run stuffer. He plays for one of the most respected position coaches. He played for one of the most respected position coaches in college football in Larry Johnson, the D-line coach there at Ohio State. And I was thinking back to when I remember him making an impact in the Michigan games, because that's my own eyes, like when I got to see it. And this year he had more tackles than he had 2 years ago. But this year against Michigan's offensive line, I get why he'd have a bunch of tackles. Michigan's offensive line struggled. 2 years ago, in the middle of the Michigan offensive line, they had NFL players, you know, Zinter and Keegan. And he was a big part. If you recall early in that game, Will Johnson had an interception that set up Michigan first and goal. And they ended up scoring on 4th and 1. And Tyleek Williams had two big plays, one run stuff where he pushed somebody into the backfield, and another where he made a tackle on Blake Corum. And that's where he first kind of came on the radar to me. What he is known as is a run stuffer. And while we didn't call Tyleek Williams, one of the things we talked about yesterday was whoever they get in this draft on the defensive side of the ball, I bet they're great against the run because of the direction that this league is going, and they still have other needs, don't get me wrong, but this guy can stuff the run. He did at the collegiate level, and that's how he stood out. I heard some scouts describe him in when they did like the three-cone drill and some of the running for defensive linemen. They said he moves like a ballerina, but he's 6'3", 334. Well,
when he was younger, he was a running back and a quarterback. He said he was just the biggest kid and strongest kid on the team all the time. And then eventually his body turned into a defensive tackle body when he got into high school. But he said his footwork never left him. So that's why he's got this really good footwork. And when you watch the film, when you watch the highlights, and I rewatched that package last night when they made the draft pick when we were done on the air.
Yep.
And yeah, you can see it. I mean, he's got this quick lateral movement. He's athletic, and you know, he uses his weight and strength very well. And then I was listening to what people were saying about him, and then did a deeper dive last night into this morning as well, and did some research on him. And you know, initially I wasn't thrilled with the pick, because I wanted an edge rusher there, and I thought there were a couple of really good edge rushers available. I think clearly one is a character issue, and that's why they shied away from him, and so did everybody else in the league. But as a Rocket was there, and I was a little surprised. But okay, let's you know, figure out why they did this. And yeah, we have talked about the need of defensive tackle with DJ Reader. He's not going to be here for much longer. And we don't know if Broderick Martin is a bust or not, but he didn't see the field. And when they talked about the team last night, Brad Holmes didn't mention Broderick Martin. I don't know if that was just a misstep or what. And Ali McNeil's coming off a knee injury. We don't know how he's going to return. So it makes sense to add a defensive tackle, which is why we talked about Kenneth Grant or Walter Nolan or Derek Harmon. But all three of those players were gone. So when those guys were gone, we hardly ever mentioned Tyleek Williams. The only time we mentioned Tyleek Williams is when Kang opened his mouth yesterday. We never really brought this guy up, yet we did talk about the position. So it's interesting because this is absolutely drafting for need.
Feels like it.
But it is also a player of substance, which this is the thing that infuriates me when Brad Holmes says that, because it's like he chastises the media for bringing up going for need when he says we're just looking for players. Like, yeah, we all got that. We know we're looking for players, but that's going to take care of itself. There is a need on this team. There's also a need at edge rusher right now. And I imagine they're going to look hard at that at pick number 60 or perhaps pick number 102.
One of the hot button issues in Detroit is what is next for Jameson Williams. And Brad Holmes talked about it last night. And now this morning at this hour, we have breaking news. We will get to that today at 10:18 here on Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket. All right, the first that I saw to report this was Field Yates from ESPN, so we will give him credit. He writes, the Lions have exercised the 2026 fifth-year options on defensive end Aiden Hutchinson and wide receiver Jameson Williams, per source. A couple things about this. One is Aiden Hutchinson's a no-brainer, and of course they're going to do that, and he probably will get extended sometime in the near future. J-Mo. The J-Mo story is interesting, and I was really glad that somebody asked Brad Holmes about it last night. And it came up during the press conference, and here's when the question was asked, did you get any calls about Jameson Williams? Here's what Brad Holmes said. Okay, it's been floating around for, I don't know, a week, 10 days, that J-Mo might be traded. And, you know, we're kind of searching for where it's coming from, like what led to it. There's the social media speculation, which about his unfollowing the Lions and saying some things about loyalty is everything. We trace that back to an Alabama fan, some woman who's a fan of Alabama, who posted screenshots of J-Mo's page. And it's really funny because the loyalty be everything or whatever it was he posted, people immediately interpreted, ooh, J-Mo's mad. Or J-Mo's happy, right? Couldn't it also have just as easily right. meant that J-Mo is loyal to the Lions and the Lions are loyal to him?
100%. And the other thing is nobody knows if J-Mo was following the Lions in the first place on Instagram.
Yeah, people say, oh, he stopped following the Lions. He unfollowed the Lions. And then I can't remember which reporter it was. One of the Lions beat reporters said, are we sure he ever followed the Lions? And then when Albert Breer tweeted out, people in NFL circles think Jameson Williams might be traded. We're like, okay. So we kind of had ignored it and said, until we can get this thing, I made one call, but until we can get sort of, if there's actual news here, we sort of ignored it. But when Albert Breer mentioned it, he said, okay, we're going to talk about this. But it was one of those weird stories that honestly felt a little uncomfortable giving it oxygen because there didn't seem to be a lot of merit to it. At this point, I don't know if that completely shuts it down, that we all relax, let J-Mo go out and do his thing. The Lions wouldn't have picked up the contract if they weren't happy with the way he was maturing professionally behind the scenes. Like, because part of J-Mo's story is J-Mo's behavior has gotten in the way of the football. I mean, he got suspended, right? You know, I mean, he's
a couple times.
And so Jameson Williams has had to grow up. And I get that some, I just think back to, and I say this all the time, but I think back to who I was at 21. And I remember some of the things I said and some of the things I did. And then I hear my kids, you know, I got, kids are around that age And I'm like, okay, they're pretty good kids, but my God, sometimes some of the things they say and believe. And so allow someone the chance to mature and grow up and grow into this role. Now, that, when you do that, you know, they can, you can get burned by it. You can get burned by it. But at this point, is it relatively safe to say that they're comfortable with Jameson Williams' maturity and professionalism, or they wouldn't have picked up this contract?
Well, I think they are for the next 2 years.
Yes.
I think for sure. I don't think that...
I mean, that doesn't mean they still want to see more, but...
Well, no, but I mean, at the but they also got a lot out of him last year, and they know he can get so much more out of him. He's a big part of this offense moving forward. So to have him for really the next three seasons here, okay, great.
Yep.
I think it's a no-brainer. We've always said, pick up the fifth year. The fifth year only costs you, I think it's $14 million. So... God, it's a lot of money. But but if you extend him, that number jumps well above 30 if you're going to give him an extension. So to pick up the fifth-year option and announce you're going to do it makes all the sense in the world. And same thing with Aiden Hutchinson. You know, that it's that is an easy no-brainer to pick up that contract because, again, you've got him pretty much on the cheap for the next couple of years. Now, the downside of that is a guy you're likely to extend. And if you're going to push it down the road at least another year on the extension, it may end up costing you another, you know, $3 or $4 or $5 million a season. But if you think he's worth it, you're going to go ahead and do that. And really, what it tells me is that they believe in his team right now. They believe that there's a real window to win a championship now. The way they've extended a lot of these players, they think that window extends into the future as well. Literally.
Yep. Yep.
But because they've done these two moves, this is a right here and now for the next couple of years. Go all in if you can. If there are guys you can find, you know, on a one-year contract in free agency or guys you're going to trade for that are going to have an expiring contract in the next couple of years, go ahead and do that if you can. So I think it's I applaud them for what they've done with picking up those contracts, but it's not a lot. It's a golf applause because I think it's expected.
According to SpotTrack, they track contracts. The fifth-year options, Aiden Hutchinson, $19.782 million. Jameson Williams, $15.493 million.
So, yeah.
So there you go. Kang, your thoughts on this?
Yeah, you guys know I've always been a big fan of J-Mo. I believe there's so much more meat left on that bone. I think he was just scratching the surface of what he can do for this offense and this team last year. Yes, he's had some off-the-field issues that over time, hopefully he matures and surrounds himself with people that keep him out of trouble. On the field, he's explosiveness. And to me, yeah, it was a no-brainer to pick up the option. Now, you can still trade him. I don't think this eliminates that completely. I highly doubt they trade him, but it's just...
You really think so after what Brad Holmes said last night? He was so dismissive of that possibility.
I'm just saying in the future... I mean, it doesn't have to be this year. You know what I mean? Like, he's not untradeable is my point, is what I'm saying. I don't want to trade him. I think that he's trying to put out the flames that somehow got started, right? And it's like, no... I don't want to, because that's just distraction. I don't think he wants J-Mo distracted. I don't think he wants distractions on this team. And by the way, people keep saying, you know, he's under control for two more years, which he is. You can still franchise tag him that third year, too. And now I know that's going to be a lot more money, but, the, you know, cap goes up, franchise number is going to be different. But as far as just team control, if you don't want to let him go and he's that important to his team and you can't work out a long term deal, it's a T. Higgins type thing where they did franchise him before they end up ultimately extending T. Higgins. You can still franchise J-Mo at the end of his option year.
So what's interesting, though, is the eating away at future cap space. We do not have the numbers yet on Kirby's year-to-year cap hit. But this coming year, the fourth year for both J-Mo and Aiden Hutchinson, J-Mo is cap hit this coming year is 5.418. Aiden Hutchinson's is 11.365. In 2026, with this option picked up, Aiden Hutchinson chews up eight more million dollars. He goes from 11 to 19. Jameson Williams goes from 5 to 15. So that's another $18 million chewed up in the 2026 cap. This is why drafting so well is so difficult to keep teams together, and it's why you just know down the road there's going to be one. There's been some minor painful cuts. There's probably going to be some major painful cuts. I hope not. I hope there can be some restructuring, but it just feels like they're headed towards that. Hopefully they'll be headed towards it, and they'll be making very difficult decisions, you know, after parades.
Well, right, exactly. And the NFL keeps making money hand over fist, and that salary cap goes up. And like you mentioned, the restructuring of contracts, there's ways to keep these guys around for several years.
It feels like it's impossible to keep them all, but you know, we'll see. Somebody, you know what's going to happen? There's probably going to be a surprise in that somebody might not even be worth keeping. We think he is, but he might not be. But we'll see. There's a lot of time and a lot of variables that will impact these decisions moving forward. Okay, let's get back into the draft. That was breaking news. The fifth-year options picked up, no surprise, Aiden Hutchinson. But just to kind of close the door on some of the JMO talk, there you go. His fifth-year option also picked up by the Detroit Lions this morning. Tyleek Williams, he's the pick. What did they get? And what is next? The next question is fascinating. That coming up in the next half hour here on Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket.
Looking to upgrade your outdoor space? Builders FirstSource has you covered. With four Metro Detroit locations, they specialize in top quality composite decking. Brands that you trust. Brands like Trex, TimberTech, and AZEK. So whether you're a DIY enthusiast or you need a certified installer, their expert team will help you build the perfect deck that stands the test of time. Visit one of their locations today in Lapeer, Auburn Hills, Clinton Township, or Shelby Township and discover why Builders FirstSource is your go-to for decking. Quality, service, and unbeatable value, that's the Builders FirstSource promise. Search buildersfirstsource.com.
All right, so there it was last night, and defensive tackle, a position of need. I want to get to something about the need here in a minute. Just an update. On Twitter, we've got a poll. We're looking for the approval rating. Do you approve of this pick? Yes or no? Very simple. What really I think would work that has people questioning it, if they do question it, is who was on the board. I know that a lot of you coveted Jahad Williams and wanted to trade up for him. So the fact that he was on the board at 28, the linebacker from Alabama, and the fact that he probably went to Philly that's one that makes you go,
Philly's done that a lot to the Lions, right? Where they end up drafting a player that Lions fans wanted.
Yep. So
you got a whole roster of guys like that.
Campbell was on the board. Mike Green was on the board, the edge rusher for Marshall with his 17 sacks. Donovan Azaraku with his 16 and a half sacks. The edge rusher from Boston College was on the board. Will Johnson plummeted. It sounds like injury related, but that hasn't stopped them before. And he's an elite talent that there is a really good chance that somebody's going to cash in and get a huge steal with him. Nicky Manwari was on the board. I mean, there's still a lot of good players out there. And they went with the defensive tackle. When we discussed him, when his name did come up, there was a bucket of defensive tackles at the top. Well, there was one at the top that there was no accessibility to in Mason Graham. Then there was the three who were all gone before the Lions picked. And then we talked about that next bucket, which felt like a third bucket. Darius Alexander and Tyleek Williams were in that third bucket. And they went and grabbed Tyleek Williams. Now, why was he a third bucket guy? Why is anybody still on the board at 28 and not one of the top picks? Well, there's going to be a criticism. And the criticism is that he doesn't provide as much pass rush, which is something that the Lions need, but he is an established run stuffer. And so anyway, it's a need short term and it's a need long term. He has been compared And as a player, the player comp is Aleem McNeil. And who's not likely to be ready when the season starts for the Detroit Lions? Of course, it's Aleem McNeil. So there's your short-term need. This guy has a chance to get on the field and get on the field early. And it's a need long-term because of where DJ Reader is in his career, probably much closer to the end than the beginning. And so from a positional standpoint, it makes sense. Listening to Brad Holmes talk last night about him, they loved his character, which is huge for them. We know that already. And it's paid dividends for them when they get into football character and does the guy love football. And Brad Holmes said repeatedly, he knocked it out of the park. at the, I can't remember if they met at the Senior Bowl or the Combine, but they met at one, and then they had him in for one of their 30 visits, and he said he knocked it out of the park again. So he checks that box. And intelligence and instincts are the things that they love about this player. And these are, you know, I mean, stats show up. The defensive tackle spot, though, is one of the positions where stats don't always tell the story.
No, they don't. And, you know, the comp to Lee McNeil is great, but, you know, Lee McNeil was not a first-round pick.
Nope.
But has he played like one? At times he has, but unfortunately he got hurt last year and stunted the growth, and we'll see. We don't know how long it's going to take for him to come back and regain the form that was that had the Lions extending him, frankly, and giving him that big contract. I thought this was an interesting pick with what Holmes had to say afterwards. You know, the comps make you feel better about the pick, but when you find out that they were getting phone calls about trading back, that there was an offer to them, they could have traded back, stay in the first round, pick up some draft capital.
Did he say stay in the first round?
It was a pick for later in the first round. And I think people are thinking, you know, some people are thinking that that Atlanta was looking at a defensive tackle. And that's why Brad Holmes said no. So, because they wanted to make sure they didn't lose their guy. And
okay, I'm confused. Atlanta?
No, that's a separate thing from the Atlanta wasn't the team that was going to be trading with the Lions,
okay.
I don't think. Atlanta was a team that he saw behind them because they were interested in a defensive tackle. They ended up going with James Pierce. But he thought they were going to be interested in a tackle and that they would lose their guy. So what that tells you is that Brad Holmes had Tyleik Williams in this upper bucket. At least that's what it tells me, that they thought of him as being a defensive tackle like a Kenneth Grant or Derek Harmon, because if you think he's in a separate bucket and a bucket behind it, then why not the edge rusher? Or why not just take the athletic freak and Emenwari? It's a draft of need without question. And a player fits the bill too. But I think he thinks very highly of this player. Very highly of this player. But, you know, if he even addressed the trade offer, that's interesting. Because I would love to know how far back.
You always want to know, yeah. Right? What was the trade offer?
What was the offer? What are you getting in compensation? Is it a third round pick, a fourth round pick? You know, who wanted it?
What's clear is whatever it was, he didn't think they were going to get a player. And he thought that they would empty the bucket of players that were available, however far back they would have moved, and he didn't want to do that.
I think he mentioned in the press conference there was like two DTs that they had, and the other one went, and this is the other one.
I'm fascinated who that other.
Yeah, me too. So I mean, yeah, it fills a need, but I go back to maybe I'm in the minority here. I believe Brent Holmes when they say they're drafting the football player. They love this guy. They wouldn't have taken him in the first round. Because everyone else had this guy mocked in the second. It was a second round pick, right? And before I made the pick yesterday of Tyleik Williams, I looked at why he might be a potential Lions pick. And the things that stood out were some of the things you mentioned, Doug. He's a film guy. He loves film. You talk about instincts and intelligence. He probably blew it out the park with his interviews with the Lions, with the combine and the top 30 visit, yep. And how much he knows about the game and how much more willing and better he's willing to get. He's got underrated athleticism, which is why he's got the Lee McNeil comps. Lee McNeil played at a very small school, or not very small, it was North Carolina State, right?
Yep.
He had no sack production there. And look what he's been able to do, translate that in the NFL. He can get pressure. We all see that. They feel the same way about Williams. He's obviously a run stuffer, but also he's got the skills and the intelligence to pressure up the middle. And they see that, you know, they're similar in size. They love this guy. And it does fill a need, but I think they didn't want a chance going to the next bucket because this guy was in their tier one.
All right, so here's Brad Holmes last night talking about the player they got at 28, Tyleik Williams, defensive tackle, Ohio State. All right, so one other defensive tackle has those kinds of instincts. And I don't know why I care so much, but I care. Is it Mason Graham? Is it Kenneth Grant? Is it Walter Nolan? Or is it Derek Harmon? Those were the four DTs that went before Tyreke Williams. Brad Holmes had his eye on one of those guys. I'd just like to know, to watch the arc of these players' careers and see, you know, if they, because the truth is, there's a high probability that in terms of who's the best defensive tackle of the five that went in the first round, there's a high probability that it won't be the order they were drafted in, right? I mean, it won't be, well, Mason Graham's clearly the best, Kenneth Grant clearly second, Walter Nolan clearly third, Derek Harmon fourth, Tyreke Williams fifth. So I'd be intrigued to see 5 years from now where Brad Holmes' guys that he liked the most. Now, he did say, he just said instinctive. So it's not like, that may not be the order of how they had him, but they liked somebody else, and they liked Tyreke Williams, and they walked away with one of their guys.
That they did. I want to clean up the trade talk that was there. The Free Press article says a few teams were looking to trade into their slot. Holmes listened to their proposals and was even intrigued by one of them, which would have required them to move down in round one. Holmes even described the particular offer as enticing, but in the end he rebuffed it and all others while standing pat. And he said the fluid environment on Thursday seemed ripe for Holmes to swap picks again. Four trades were consummated and the draft started. Two of them went down right before the lines were set on the clock, as Atlanta and the Giants each maneuvered their way back into the first round. The sudden burst of activity made Holmes nervous because the Falcons had a need at defensive tackle. He said there was a little anxiety there. The breathing got a little irregular there. Now, the Falcons ended up taking James Pierce at 26.
Yep.
So that was before. So they didn't even take the defensive tackle. So if you look at the rest of the draft in the first round, perhaps it was Philadelphia that wanted to move up, because Philadelphia just flip-flopped with Kansas City. Would they have been willing to flip at 32 with the Lions at 28? And the Lions said no. Yeah. And that's the logical way to look at it, I guess.
Yeah, what they were offered wasn't an offer. They were afraid they were going to lose their guy. Okay, let's update this polling. Do you approve? Do you approve? A lot of people have responded on our Twitter poll. So if you want to go vote and get your thoughts in, do you approve of the pick? Campbell was on the board, Mike Green, Donovan Azaraku, Will Johnson, Nicky Minwari, others. But they go Tyreke Williams, which was a little bit out of the blue. Unless you paid attention to our producer, Kang, yesterday. Do you approve of this pick? We will update where it's at, the approval rating, and get to some of the responses there. And we got to talk about what's next. We'll shift into round two and round three discussion coming up here shortly here on Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Hey, I've got some good news for you. I think we've officially moved on from winter, and there's more great news. The red, white, and blue trucks are everywhere. So call the expert technicians at Birmingham Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling, and they're going to make sure that your HVAC and your plumbing are ready to take on the heat that's just around the corner. But don't just take my word for it. You can check out their A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau or some of the five-star reviews they have on Google. Whether it's your furnace, your water heater, boiler, water filtration, your AC unit, schedule an appointment at BirminghamPlumbingCO.com. Birmingham Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling, your Metro Detroit boiler experts.
Regarding Tyreke Williams, KengoBlue73 on Twitch says, I take it his teammates went to his birthday party? I think it's a pretty good bet. I'm sure that question was asked.
Went all draft day.
Yeah. From who's this? Mine Only Hooves on YouTube. I think Detroit really wanted Kenneth Grant, and we're shocked he went at 13. Gray Zabel was probably the next man up. He's gone, but I think they still got a solid player. 248-539-9797, a phone call. Lee on YouTube says, Gator, thank you for showing your rather impressive electric guitar collection. Yeah, I was part of the stream last night. You that, and you had your selection of tequilas we saw.
Well, I let the people decide, tequila or beer, for the third drink last night.
Yeah. Yeah.
The people came out in droves and said tequila.
Yep. So Gator got into the tequila. 248-539-9797. All right, here we go. So approval rating. What do you think the approval rating is of this pick? Have you seen it?
I have not.
Okay. What do you think it is?
I think in the end, people just trust Brad Holmes. So yeah. It's probably higher than maybe what I originally would have thought. I don't know. 71%.
Can you think it's higher or lower than 71%?
Oof. I think that's a good number, Gator. That's a good number. I'm going to go slightly higher. I'm going to stay in the 70s, but somewhere, you know, it's 74%.
All right. Do you approve of the pick of Tyleek Williams? Yes, I approve. 79.2%. No, wow. I do not approve. 20.8%. Here are some of the posts that have come in on Twitter. Pat writes in, I approve. Williams fits a need. He's a culture fit and has eye upside. Patrick says, do I approve? Sure. Would I have rather had Green or Azaraku? Yes. DC says, Tua Lee McNeil's is better than one. I'm very happy. Stephen Kelly says, big reach. Could have got the Aleem type at number 60 in the second round. Green or Campbell would have made more sense here.
Well, the difference they see in Tyleek Williams as opposed to just a run stuffer is they do think that he's got the ability to rush the passer. They think that they really didn't use him as that at Ohio State, that their scheme was different than what they might want to use here in the NFL, and they think he's got some pass rushing chops. So that's why. But I think the texter is right. There are guys that are just pure run stuffers they could have gotten. Deion Walker from Kentucky is a massive human being and from the Detroit area that would have been a guy that that could fit with that, and you don't have to take it at 28. But is Deion Walker the pass rush possibility?
Cade writes in, depends on what they get done today, but most likely the answer is yes, I approve. Kenny says, get the biggest man you can early. We need girth and a good supply. There's a good supply of it to control both lines. Ken writes, I'm not a scout. I want a defense. If Brad says this is the best, gotta trust. JD says, this year's draft is loaded with edges, supposedly. So if we can get one in the second, I'm happy. Now, if we don't get one or don't go guard, I'm a little worried. You have to wonder if we will re-sign Zadarius or trade for Thibodeau. Raymond says, the fans that disapprove of this selection, I bet the majority of them disapprove because Jahad Campbell was drafted by the Eagles. But when week one arrives and Big Mac is still months away from returning, we'll appreciate this selection. And Larry says, Green and Azaraku are both destined to be the next James Houston. One-trick ponies. No interest in a DB, especially one with questions. D-line was the need, and Williams is a good player. No issue with the pick. Go vote and comment on Twitter, at DunGator971. Okay. So, what is next? What is next? There are a lot of good players on the board here. Mm-hmm. A lot of good players. The problem is, there's a lot of territory to cover before we get to the Lions' next pick at 60. And are any of these guys that'll be the most coveted? Like, if the Lions had the first pick of the second round, we'd probably be very happy with who was there, one, and also very happy with trading back a few picks because the pool of players to open up round two, we've mentioned them. Mike Green, Azaraku, Will Johnson. Just to name a few, I mean, all could be in play. There's a lot of intriguing picks. It's just who's going to get, if anyone's going to get, who's going to get to 60.
It's this is also the exciting part because I think this is where Brad Holmes likes to cook.
Yeah.
I think he likes to maneuver throughout the draft. He had a chance to last night. He balked at it, got the guy he wanted, and breathed a sigh of relief to live for the next day. I could see him absolutely maneuvering around to get an extra pick or to move up and get the guy that he covets here in this round. I would love to hear him get aggressive and move into, you know, one of the top four or five picks of this second round. But again, it's the same thing like the first round. It's going to cost a lot to do that. But if it just costs a lot of back end, you know, draft capital, who cares? Or if it costs next year's third round pick, does it matter? I mean, it's next year. If the Lions were to walk away with Tyleek Williams in the first round and someone like Donovan Azaraku in the second round, mm-hmm. and then they don't have next year's third round pick, I think that's a pretty good haul.
What if it costs you this year's third round pick?
Then again, I think it's still a pretty good haul.
Yeah, I mean,
I do like the depth in this year's draft, and I haven't looked ahead to next year's draft to see how deep it is. Maybe we're going to be saying the same thing, but. This one seems like it's particularly deep.
I mean, Isaraku's considered one of the best five players available on the board, so you'd have to move up quite a bit. I'm going to guess it would cost this year's...
Well, that's why I say get into the top five.
Yeah, it would cost you this year's third round pick and then some. If I were sitting there and somebody wanted me to drop back that far, if I'm one of those teams at the top of the board, it would be this year's third and maybe next year's second to get me to agree to that. And there's positive and negative of that, right? You are talking about they love their draft picks. Brad Holmes loves his draft picks, and he's done a great job with his draft picks. But they are running into a problem where they can't re-sign everybody. So you can't, this is going to sound weird, you can't keep filling your roster with players you can't re-sign. But you also need cheaper alternatives. So there's a give and a take to it. I can't imagine them giving up the kind of capital it would take to get a player like Isaraku.
It would probably take you this year's third and next year's third. Next year's third is going to be more valuable because this year's third is in the compensatory area because it's 102 as opposed to the end of the third round, which would be 96. So if you're looking at,
I think it would cost more than that, but I'm just thinking to myself as that team, why do I want one extra third round pick to drop 30 spots or 27 spots or whatever it would be? I would think that they'd want something better than just doubling down on third rounders, but you know, there are some coveted players here. There are some coveted players here, and to move up, I think they could probably move up 10, 15 spots comfortably. I think you could probably get a trade partner there. So who is it that you would want to drop into a range that they could trade for him? Is it I'm going to assume for you it's Isaraku because yeah, you wanted him in the first round.
It's still the same thing, absolutely. Yeah, but I don't expect him to. I don't expect him to be there. But again, I'm a little surprised they passed on him last night, but this might tell you a lot about what they feel about him as a player, particularly in comparison to the defensive tackle, and they thought the defensive tackle need was a bigger one than the edge rusher. So
fascinating player is Mike Green. The off the field stuff, you know, there's no charges, you know, like pending charges against him. But the fact that he falls out of the first round has to make you wonder what team's research showed them. And it can be a very humbling experience. To fall in the draft for personal or character reasons, is that an eye opener for a kid, or is this, you know, is he the victim of bad information or a bogus charge? I would think if he was a victim of a bogus charge, I would have thought he would have gotten drafted yesterday. This is a really unfair thing to do, but you have to wonder, why is Mike Green still on the board when going into the draft? There were people who thought he was going top 15 in the draft, and he's still on the board in the second round at a position of need. That can also simply be a reflection of all the draft experts got it wrong. They just got it wrong. Maybe teams didn't evaluate him that high. He's a second day pick through and through, and we shouldn't be surprised he's still on the board, but the evaluators got it wrong when they put together mock drafts.
I don't think this is what the Lions would do, but it's something that just me as a fan that I'd like to see. I know the Lions covet players that have the ability to play multiple positions, right? They like the versatility. And when it comes to the defensive linemen, they really like that. I want the Lions to go out and just get a pure edge rusher, which that sounds like that's Isaraku or Mike Green or a Josiah Stewart, as opposed to a guy that can move inside if they have to, because I think they have too many of those guys, and those guys just haven't panned out, whether it's Pascal or Anzarike. Wingo, you know, they've got a lot of these guys. I want the pure pass rusher. I don't care if he's only 6'2". If he gets to the quarterback, go get him. If that's his lone skill and it's a really good skill, go do it. I mean, for the half a season, it looked great with James Houston. He broke his leg. He was never the same guy, and then looked like he was just completely, you know, out of it when he did come back with the Lions. But these other guys are more proven with what they've done at the higher level of college football than what James Houston did. And they've done it for a longer period of time. So I want to take that chance.
Scott Anderson, there is one player that is on the board who is not an edge rusher but I like him so much. I have such a second round NFL draft crush on him, a Friday NFL draft crush on him, that if he's on the board at 60 and there's an edge rusher on the board at 60, I'd be okay with not taking the edge rusher. We will get to that coming up today at 11:05 here on Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket.
Spring is here, and there's no better time to make a move than right now at Sarah Chevrolet Southfield. The weather's warming up, the days are getting longer, and it's the perfect time to take advantage of some incredible offers that are hard to beat. Right now, you can lease a 2025 Equinox EV for just $159 a month. That's right, only $159 a month. Plus, if you're looking for something with a little more power, you can drive off in a 2025 Silverado for just $298 a month. Here's the best part. Both of them.